Hello,
I'm Mike Graham, president of Midwestern Securities. Welcome to this episode of Banking on Growth. With us today, we have our friend Tate Hartman. Tate is a CFP from Heartland Credit Union in Springfield, Illinois. Welcome, Tate.
Thank you, Mike. It's good to be here.
Hey, glad to have you with us. Look forward to what you have to share today. But for our audience, will you share a little bit about who you are and how you got into financial planning?
Sure. I started with Heartland Credit Union in 2010, and I was working in our operations department, serving as a loan officer, and we call it a member service officer who opens and services new member accounts. Worked my way up to a branch manager role. And then we decided as a credit union that we were going to offer a financial services products here and start a financial services division. We searched for an outside candidate, couldn't find the right person to come in. And then I was approached by our CEO to maybe consider a career change and move into that. Encouraged me to meet with Midwestern Securities and get a sense as far as what the industry is like and the opportunities there. And it's been a good fit ever since. So I started studying for my securities licenses in November of 2014. And we opened our doors and to accept clients in March of 2015, and haven't grown strong ever since.
Absolutely. And what a great decision that was on your CEO's behalf to present the opportunity to you and for you to see the upside of it, because it's been a tremendous fit for you and the credit union.
Yep.
And Midwestern Securities. We're thankful for the partnership that we have.
It's been great. I've enjoyed my time, and one of the biggest things about this career is the rewards that you get to have just by impacting so many people's lives and adding so much value to them.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk a little bit about technology. How has technology transformed the financial planning space inside of community financial institutions?
I think it's made a lot of things more accessible. We can do a lot more to help a lot more people than maybe what we could have done 15, 20, or 25 years ago, which is, here's one product that we've got. It's kind of a catch-all. It's take it or leave it. With the advances in technology on the back end, working with Midwestern Securities and some of the things that they can do, and the technology tools that I have available as a financial advisor that we've been able to scale through our business, I can help any client of any size, regardless of amount that they have to start off with or dollar amount that they may have to invest month to month or whatever it may be. That does not have to cloud my decision-making on whether or not we want to take them on as a client. That allows us to help more and more of our members and provide a huge benefit to our membership base and the people that we work with.
So it allows scale and flexibility to meet the members where they are. Can you talk about the personalization with that? How does technology allow you to make them still feel like they are your only client, even though they may be your smallest client or your biggest client?
Yeah, maybe a way to answer that is to talk about what technology can't replace. And what that is in our, we call it a good opening interview, right? Which is going through and gathering the components of what makes up a financial plan, getting to understand what a client's financial picture looks like and what's important to them, what they're comfortable with, what they're not comfortable with, what their ultimate goals for their money and their wealth actually is. That is something that technology can't replace, but we can use it to enhance some of those conversations. And so I think that's where personalization can come in with some of the technology where, for instance, our financial planning software that we like to use, I can't go through and replace those opening interview questions with just a plug and play and click a few buttons and get it done. What I can do is, after I gather that information and we assess what the client is really trying to accomplish and what they're comfortable with, what they're uncomfortable with, what we want to see happen, we can use technology then to model out their financial plan to ensure that what they're doing puts them in the absolute best position. And if not, we can start addressing what adjustments or changes, need to be made. And that's where I think technology can enhance that value and create that personalization for for clients, regardless of account size.
Tate, can you give us an example of what that looks like, the opening paired with technology? What sort of deliverable would the technology do to enhance that customer experience?
When we talk about the opening interview, a few key pieces of information that we're always trying to gather: income versus expenses, cash flow, assets versus liabilities, what things do they own, what things do they still owe on, what's their goals for retirement, ideas of income they might need or spending goals that they would have. Beyond that, let's talk about risk management with life insurance. Do they have children? Do they have dependents that we need to ensure are taken care of? When they're no longer here, what's their plans for their money or their assets? How do they want those to be distributed? So we need to get a good understanding of all of those things. Once we do that, within the financial planning software that we like to use, we can start plugging in some of that information. It's personalized, right? Because it's not me telling a client what it should be. It's a client telling me what they want, what they've got, what their picture looks like. We can start plugging it in and build in assumptions as far as what might they be able to save? What would they be willing to invest? How does that match up? How do we put them into something that matches up with our investment philosophy or the investments that we look at as we're crafting their financial plan? And then we run out all these different trial scenarios to ensure that they're on track to meet their goals. And then once that's all put together, we can create a polished report that we can print off and provide to them or make accessible to them, so they have a fully functioning, financial plan at that point.
What does that mean to the customer?
So we try to operate in the framework. Fidelity put out what they call their advice value stack. They came up with this a few years ago. And what it is, it's a framework as far as how advisors could and should start to operate to hopefully add more value to their clients' lives, have a bigger impact on their clients' lives. And it's essentially the in a nutshell, it's helping clients manage their money to achieve their financial goals so they can worry less and they can lead a more fulfilling life, right? And those are all different tiers of things that we can do. Using technology in this fashion, this financial planning software that I'm talking about here, what this can do is instill confidence in clients that if we put these measures into place today, we're putting you on the path to achieve your financial goals. And when those market downturns hit, which they inevitably do, knowing that we've got a plan to address them, to deal with the volatility as it hits, but also reminding them that in the long run, they're probably still going to be okay. Like, we've modeled out different scenarios as far as what could happen, and their plan is still intact. Being able to worry less or not worrying at all, it's a huge impact on somebody versus, in 2022, at the midst of the market downturn, and the S&P 500 is off 20-something%, and people are wondering, I don't know, am I going to be okay? With our technology tools, it's a good conversation to have. We can bring them back in and say, hey, listen, if we're doing the right things, you're going to be just fine.
So what you've said so far is technology can't replace the human element, but pairing the technology with the human element shows the client the plan, the path, and basically the supporting documentation of behind the scenes algorithms of probability of success. So it's kind of the answer and the work that goes into it that gives those clients that want to see the work as well as just the answer, that confidence to start and peace of mind to stay with a financial strategy so they don't abandon it in times like 2022 when things get scary.
Correct.
So it's the pairing. The information and technology and data alone aren't a great financial strategy on their own, because people have to understand how to remove the emotion and how to make sense of the data to apply it to a successful investment outcome. But pairing the data, the technology with the human that can communicate it, that's where you've got a formula for success.
Right. And again, this is all personalized back to back to them. It's all based on what their goals are and what's important to them, and we can adjust from there.
So the client gets a better experience and the financial advisor gets efficiencies from having the technology to give the supporting data, the supporting documents the Monte Carlo simulators, stuff like that, that saves the financial advisors time and allows for them to present a very professional outcome, a very professional solution to the customer that the customer, again, has confidence in. Is this software, I mean, is it expensive today? Is it expensive for a community bank or a credit union to provide this?
In my opinion, it's relatively inexpensive. And when we're thinking about scaling up a financial services division, it's a minor investment that can easily be built into operating, an operating budget in a very short period of time.
Are we talking thousands of dollars or tens of thousands of dollars?
And the program that we use, I believe, is a little over $1,000.
Oh, man, that's cheap. Yeah, you got to have the tools to do the job. That's a cheap tool.
Right.
Yeah. Absolutely. So we talked about acquiring the client, understanding who the member is, who the customer is, what's important to them, building that strategy that aligns with the value stack, gives them peace of mind so they can live a more fulfilled life. I love it. That gets them started. How do you use technology to stay in touch with your clients ongoing? I know you have a growing, successful book of business. How do you use it to make sure that they don't forget you and that you don't forget them and you're being attentive to them?
Right. Two solutions come to mind right off the bat. Number one is our marketing suite that we utilize. And through this solution, I'm able to send out a monthly market update that kind of covers market activity and major news events over the past 30, 31 days. Send that out to clients near the beginning of each month so they're on top of things. And then once a month, I send out an e-newsletter that kind of covers four different financial planning topics. And, you know, they may or may not find it relevant that month, but throughout the course of the year, now they're getting nearly 50 different articles. Maybe it sparks a conversation or a thought that in a normal review or a normal meeting, you know, wouldn't have come up. They bring it back to me and say, hey, can we talk about this a little bit more? And we uncover something that's really important to them or that's been, you know, on their mind. One of the things that I see a lot is when I send out something on estate planning, making sure the will is in place. I remember one article a couple of years ago that was famous celebrities that didn't have their will in place. And the response that I got from clients was huge. Like even just a comment, oh yeah, I remember that. Or it's a good thing we got this taken care of. It's all those sorts of things that hopefully is relevant to them, but it's coming from me as their advisor to remind them that, hey, these are important things that you get taken care of.
Mm-hmm. It's a newsletter. It's written communication. Nothing really new about that you don't think of that as new technology, right? It's one of the best ways to communicate with people that's been, you know, for millennia.
Here's, Mike, here's where the technology really kicks in though, okay? What we can do through the marketing suite is we have our clients' information uploaded in there. And with a minimal time investment on my side, I can automate this stuff and make sure that it gets, you know, sent out. So as we're building a very successful and time-consuming practice, right? Mm-hmm. It takes time to build these financial plans and review things and meet with clients. This is an easy way for me to stay in communication with them, provide them relevant and useful information, but in a very time-efficient manner. It's once a month, just kind of going through and cleaning up that, you know, that contact list. Who do we want to be sending these things to? Or if we have specific things that we want to segment out through this marketing suite, we can segment clients in certain ways and send out maybe more tailored marketing materials to them, more specific articles on topics to a certain segment of clients that we're working with.
Gotcha. How many people are you in touch with monthly on average via the system?
With clients, we are upwards of 400 plus that we're reaching out to. But when I'm talking about this e-newsletter, the really cool thing is I'm able to expand that out a lot further. And we're sending it out to, I think it's close to about 23,000 of our credit union members on a monthly basis. And again, it's a very, very minimal time request for me to get that done. And then through the marketing suite, it sends it all out. So that's 23,000 people, give or take, you know, a month that's receiving hopefully some relevant article, but with my name, my picture, so they know who's sending it, and my contact information, so they know how to get a hold of me if something strikes an interest.
So newsletters aren't new, and written correspondence to customers and prospects isn't new, but leveraging technology in this way, inexpensively, time efficiently, positions you as the authority in a very professional manner. And does it work? Does it add to retention or new client onboarding? Do you have any data analytics on any conversion of that activity, Tate?
Anecdotally, I can tell you that after those e-newsletters go out, we're getting anywhere from 2 to 5 responses, back, either a request for a meeting, a phone call with a question, something along those lines. I can track who's opening the emails and the response rate of that. We can track who is clicking on the article, or not who's clicking on the articles necessarily, but the percentage of those articles that are getting opened up. So there is some analytics. If you wanted to dig deeper, you certainly could on that.
Yeah, interesting. You know, there's two sides of the financial industry, I guess. One that is bought, people call into the credit union and say, hey, I need a mortgage, I need a car loan, and we can be more reactive to, and part that is sold, and that's the stuff that people need to do, but don't feel necessarily a sense of urgency or a pain point like revisiting their financial strategy. So this is a great trigger to stay in touch with those folks and trigger a response that can hopefully bring this back to the forefront, and they can make that phone call to you, get that meeting scheduled, and then come in and get things in motion. Thing we want is those prospects for you to see them 5 years from now and say, hey, where were we? Where are we on things? And for them to have let 5 years go by and have not been funding their kids 529 or their Roth IRA or having their 401k misallocated and have missed out on growth or taken too much risk. And we had a year like 2022 and they lost too much money by not acting and not meeting with a CFP like yourself.
And I mentioned there are two solutions, right? So we talked about the marketing kind of suite, but then another technology solution to ensure that we're servicing our clients well and staying in touch with them is our CRM tool. And what's great about that is it allows me to document conversations that we've had with clients, easily recall them, when needed, set follow-ups for client calls, and then increase the level of communication that I have between myself, the client, my administrative assistant, and even the back office at Midwestern Securities if needed. To give you an example on this, right here at the beginning of the year, I've been reaching out to a lot of clients to either talk about doing IRA contributions or maybe perhaps if their financial plan calls for Roth IRA conversions. A lot of these clients, we've had conversations maybe 4, 5, 6 months ago. And while they were really on board and excited about it at the time that we were talking about it, they're busy. They have their own jobs. They have their own lives, right? So life carries on. Setting these follow-ups and easy reminders allows me to make sure that I'm staying on top of things for them, that I'm reaching out to them saying, hey, when we met last August, we talked about doing X, Y, and Z. Now would probably be a good time for us to go ahead and implement that. Are you on board with it? Yes? Great. Document the conversation. And then through our CRM tool, we've got the option to send out, the required paperwork to get it done. And we can do everything one-stop shop almost and very quickly and efficiently and even remotely.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Just another more tools in your toolbox. Are you the professional contractor with all of the tools, or are you the financial advisor or the financial institution that's showing up with the pliers and a crescent wrench and trying to get the job done? You're showing that you have all of the tools that you need to do the job very well, to demonstrate you're doing the job, to attract great clients, to communicate with those clients and follow through with those clients to make sure that their financial strategies get implemented. It's hard to do the job without the right tools. And a lot of institutions, I think, and financial advisors will be penny wise, and they won't spend the money on, as you mentioned, pretty inexpensive amounts on financial planning software, on marketing tools like you're talking about with the newsletter and with CRM to put that presence there out there. And then they wonder why their division isn't growing. You guys have been growing strongly. You've been invested in growth, being innovative and driving forward. And that's why I'm glad to have you on this podcast with us talking about these things. So the right tools, have you had any challenges or obstacles inside of your financial institution integrating these or getting support from having these types of tools?
Not necessarily within the organization. I think that the toughest part of implementing any sort of a new technology solution is that it means a change in your day-to-day process or what you're doing, right? So inertia is going to be the biggest thing to overcome, you know, with that. And I find that was really more on my side as I knew that some changes needed to be made, or as we're implementing our new CRM solution or financial planning software, you know, how do I need to adjust what I'm doing to make these technology solutions really work for me, as opposed to just the way that I was comfortable doing it, you know, prior to that. You know, what I found was really helpful was just having in-depth training and a process and a structure for how we can actually incorporate these things into our, you know, into our business or into my day-to-day planning business. Then you can start to see the results of utilizing this, you know, a lot faster, right? It starts to bear fruit, you know, a little quicker. You realize how it makes your life a little bit easier and how it can impact clients a little bit more. If you have that structure in place and the good training, it can't be half in, half out, right? You need to commit to it. If you're going to do it, you're going to do it well.
Right. Right. Yeah. I love it. Depends on, a lot of people think of technology in different facets, right? Self-driving cars, self-checkouts at McDonald's, teller pods in the lobby of the financial institution. You're really using technology as gear, right? Gear or tools that you wrap around you to make you more professional and more successful and give your clients a better experience. Pretty inexpensive gear with really good ROI.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I love the way that you're using it. Can you give us a couple of success stories of how using technology made you more successful as a financial advisor, or your institution more successful, or had a better client outcome?
Sure. So again, going back to the financial planning software solution that we use, right? It's a goals-based plan. And so I can think of a couple of clients that I'm working with, and we're talking through, you know, what's important to them, you know, what we're trying to really accomplish. And as we're going through, we start to realize that they want to leave a legacy to their children, and they want to, you know, eventually gift money to their children. So we start to have the discussion, well, what if instead of waiting until after you're gone to start giving money to them, we start helping them out today? Would that be something you'd be interested in? You know, maybe if I can make that work. Okay, well, what if we could do that perhaps in a manner that would reduce future taxes, you know, for them when they needed the income? Would you be interested in that? Yeah, that sounds really good, right? So then we can start to go through. And now what we've identified is a couple of potential future clients and their children that we can help out. Providing them a solution that, hey, we could set up a Roth IRA for them. You can help fund that. And that creates a future stream of tax-free income for them. And we can go ahead and model this out within your financial plan to make sure that you can give the dollar amount that you want to give to your children and make sure that you yourself don't actually run out of money in your lifetime and make sure that all bases are covered. So that's been a really great success story because it demonstrates to the client that I'm paying attention to what's important to them. I'm thinking and being proactive about ways that we can really, really have a positive impact on their life and their children's lives. And then as a financial advisor, it gives me the opportunity to now open 2 to 3 to 4 new accounts and create new households for those children. And maybe they've got needs that need to be met with saving for their kids' college, life insurance needs, their own future retirement income planning. And so it can just continue to build and build and build on itself. All of that through a good opening interview and a technology solution allows us to really tackle that and tap into that for the clients.
Yeah, that's great, Tate. We're about out of time. Any closing thoughts or comments on or your peers that might be listening to this on technology, your perspective or any key takeaways that you'd want them to hear?
Yeah, as bullish as we are on technology and the uses and how it can enhance your business, I'd say the biggest thing to pay attention to or to think about is, will this be a value add for myself or for my clients? There's a lot of cool technology and there's a lot of cool things out there that look really neat and really interesting. But as you find that your time becomes less and less as you help more and more people, you want to make sure that if you're utilizing a technology solution, it actually adds a benefit for you or for the clients.
Yeah, very well said. And I think also one thing you hinted at earlier in the discussion was, it's going to take a little bit of investment of your time to to utilize this, to get comfortable with this. Be prepared for that. Invest that time and the ROI comes around. You can't just buy it and put it on a shelf and expect it to work without you and without your direction of it.
Right, right. You got to be comfortable with being a little uncomfortable at first.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Tate, thank you for joining us. Thank you for sharing your perspective and knowledge.
Yep, thank you very much for having me. This has been great.
You're welcome. To our viewers, we hope you enjoyed this episode of Banking on Growth, and we look forward to seeing you at our next episode. Thank you.
Thanks.